Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is Cody, joined by my co-host, James, the strong man strong. James, how are you in this fine Monday evening, my guy?
I'm excellent, man. Done with work for the day. We got that second shower, nice and clean feeling.
You still, I don't know how you get one in the morning. I can't.
Bro, I can't not. That's the thing.
That's fair. You do your walk.
I feel grimy if I don't shower before I start my day. That's it.
That's fair. Like, I shower at night, yeah. And I'm good to go for the next day.
Yeah.
I'll like clean up. I'll look presentable, but I don't get right back in the shower in the morning. But there's our talking point. You guys, let us know in the comments. Do you shower in the morning or at night?
Are you a morning shower or an afternoon shower?
Or are you like James and do you both? Do you just do both?
I only do both when I get grimy at work. If I don't get all sweaty and nasty.
Oh, it's that sweaty season at work for us. It's that sweaty season. It's raining out and I'm sweating. Okay.
Yeah.
Rough times. All right. We're going to hop into this. We have Steelers news. We have actually a lot of Steelers.
Go, man.
We have a lot of
fun things to talk about. Some former players, some current players, all kinds of stuff going on in the news. We're going to start off with a former player, Mr. Le'Veon Bell. Really broke into the news this week talking about how he wishes things would have played out differently in 2018, which was the season that he held out and didn't play all year long under the franchise tag, and just kind of regrets how things worked in general there.
Shocking.
To obviously things not working out very well with the Jets in his career ever since. And he's now got a boxing match coming up with Adrian Peterson, which I'm sure you're going to watch that, right,
Cody? Oh, I'm going to watch it. Just to really hope that Le'Veon Bell gets KO'd.
Adrian Peterson is seriously strong. Le'Veon might get knocked out real bad.
He might. Here's the thing I'll say. Obviously, I was a Le'Veon Bell fan when he played for Steelers. Obviously, 90% of Steelers fans have a sour taste in their mouth when they think about Le'Veon Bell. With everything that happened with him, with holding out, with taking actually a lesser deal with the Jets to go play in New York rather than play with us in Pittsburgh after that whole ordeal. Le'Veon Bell obviously has regrets about it because he realized that, hey, my career went to the tank after that because he didn't have an offensive line. He didn't have the coaching system he had. People all the time,
wide receivers,
everything. People all the time take for granted the situations that they have in Pittsburgh. You saw that happen a lot in recent years. We saw that happen with San Antonio Holmes. San Antonio Holmes didn't do anything. And he also went to the Jets after us, after winning a Super Bowl and Super Bowl MVP with Big Ben in that last second touchdown catch in the end zone. I think that Le'Veon Bell,
different though with San Antonio.
Yeah.
They knew a suspension was coming because he had tested positive for an additional time to what he had already tested positive. And Pittsburgh was just looking to dump him and try to get something in return.
But at the same time, what I'll say is taking for granted the situation you're in with Pittsburgh. You knew you were being stupid, you know, whatever. Le'Veon Bell, I don't think it's in the Hall of Fame now, period. I genuinely don't think he has the career numbers to get in the Hall of Fame. And I think I think he would have been a first ballot had he finished his career in Pittsburgh.
Because he was getting Pro Bowls every year.
Yep.
And now he only has what he had in his Pittsburgh career, which he was only there for,
4 years?
5 years?
4 or 5.
And only 4 of them did he actually play. And he wasn't a 4-time Pro Bowler. I know that. Maybe he went 3 times, but that's nowhere near enough. I mean, you look at Hines Ward's resume, he's struggling to get in, and he's got a hell of a lot better resume than Le'Veon Bell does.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's not happening for Le'Veon unless he somehow gets another team to give him a chance and he has a late rebirth where he has a couple good seasons, then maybe he's got a shot. But off his current resume, absolutely no chance.
No, and the fact that he's – and here's the thing. I don't know, and this may sound rude to say. I don't mean it in a rude way. Any team that looks at a guy and says, oh, he's rapping and boxing, I'm not going to sign a guy that's spending his time rapping and boxing and not actually preparing to play for a team.
Maybe, but that's it. You're not getting serious money.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, with a lot of people in Pittsburgh saying that Pittsburgh needs better backup running back, I mean, Le'Veon Bell might be a better backup running back than what's currently on the roster right now. So on a league minimum deal, would I do it? Sure.
Yeah, but would he come back for league minimum?
Hey, might be the only team willing to offer him league minimum right now.
That's fair. That's fair.
But so, I don't think Pittsburgh would offer it to him because I think there's too bad of a taste in their mouth from how everything played out.
There is. There is for sure. And maybe, who knows, maybe this is him trying to make a step towards that direction. Maybe he wants to come back and play in Pittsburgh. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll
wait.
Could be.
We'll wait and see. If he's anywhere near as good as he was, I'd take him. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know if you can keep that while actively not. And I don't know what he does with his free time when he's not rapping and preparing for boxing. But I assume he's not in the gym 24/7 outside of that. You know what I mean? He's got a life.
Yeah.
He's got
I mean, if life. If you're preparing for a boxing match, you should be
somewhat in shape.
A lot of working out. You should
it's a,
be doing
it's a
lot
different,
of
it's a different kind of shape, though.
Completely.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit. But let's go ahead and move on. Talk about the offensive line real quick. Chuk Secor wound up buying his parents a house and thanked them in a public post on social media, which is just a cool thing. It's not crazy big Steelers news or player news or anything like that, but kind of stories like that are, you know, it's the stuff that you grow up wishing you could do. I know for a fact, James and I both would love to buy our parents a house, but we can't.
We're going to have to get a little bit more successful with this podcast. To make
a little
that
bit.
Sort of thing happen.
A little bit.
But really cool. The post was very nice and heartfelt. Talking about how they sacrificed everything growing up and never once complained. And now, you know, Chooks said that he really felt honored to be able to do this for them. And I think that's pretty awesome. It's pretty special. Shows to the quality of character for him to just finally get that big payday. Let's be honest. He was a third round pick.
Yeah.
So he wasn't really making enough money to be buying fancy expensive houses for his parents previously. He could have bought him a decent house, but nothing like what he just bought him. Yeah, now he's got $30 million coming his way, and the first thing he thinks to do is pay his parents back. That's pretty awesome. That's a high-character individual right there, and it makes you cheer for him a little bit more in my book.
Yep, got to play the lottery, James. I'm going to win. I'll buy you a second house for all your dogs.
Do it. You're going to need one.
I know.
Crap's getting out of control around here, literally.
So James has a buddy of the podcast that lives in Pittsburgh area, correct? He lives in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Yeah. Scott Ruffner, he's down there mm-hmm. in the area. And he texted me this afternoon, said, "Hey, man, the bottles are coming down."
It's happening.
So the Heinz signage, the Heinz ketchup bottles, everything at the stadium have been removed today, this afternoon, which does mean that it's probably a bad sign for whatever partnership Heinz was hoping to continue. If it is going to be any kind of partnership, it's going to be a small one.
It's not going to incorporate the bottles.
Yeah. They were talking about trying to keep that up. Mr. Rooney was saying that he was open to the idea of keeping those up, but it sounds to me like maybe Heinz just didn't want to pony up much at all.
Well, and for all we know, it may not have been Heinz. It may have been the new stadium name. People, you know,
it could be, yeah. Acrisure. Yeah, maybe Acrisure said we don't want their name up there. We don't want people being thinking about Heinz at all because there's already enough negative backlash on on Twitter, and there's people
signing petitions.
Yeah, with petitions. Apparently, there's one with 7,000 signatures already out there.
Yep.
So people are still up in arms about this. Which, hey, you're allowed to be. You're allowed to be, right? That's what makes us fans. It's short for fanatics.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So sad day for Heinz Field. Hashtag not my stadium name. Anyways, in other
sad
news,
day in the Switzer household, too?
It is also a sad day in the Switzer household. Ryan Switzer, previous wide receiver, punt return, kick return, semi-specialist, of the Pittsburgh Steelers, announced his retirement from the NFL today. So there is that. Ryan Switzer was a guy that Pittsburgh brought in to try and spice up the return game. Unfortunately, minus maybe one or two returns, didn't get spiced up at all. If anything, got more stressful and just didn't turn anything around. Didn't shake anything up. Didn't have massive field, you know, momentum changing returns, nothing like that. So
You'd say it was kind of as bland as white people's food sometimes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Hamburger, hot dog at the family get-together, that's about it.
That's no about seasoning it. At all, just straight out of the package, right on the grill.
It's frozen like, package, just straight. Yeah,
yeah.
Just,
you got to season that up.
Now I'm hungry. Now I want to grill. Now I want to grill.
Do it.
All right, you guys, keep an eye on. I will, not today. Keep an eye out for this. I just came up with this in my head right now, and I'm going to share it with James, and it's going to happen. I'm just making it happen. Next year, because I'm not going to say this year, I want to have time to plan. Next year, James and I will be making our way to Pittsburgh Steelers Stadium for a game. I mean, Pittsburgh Steelers Stadium. That's what I'm going to start calling it.
extra sure.
No, we're not doing that. We're going to make it to Pittsburgh for a game. I mean, we're going to probably go this year too, but I want to plan it ahead of time. We're going to go sometime next year. We'll plan it ahead, and we are going to have a Steelers by the Lake tailgate party.
That's it, man.
So hopefully all of you guys listening, all of you girls listening, all of you people from Germany, from everywhere. Everywhere.
Spain, Israel.
Israel, we want you guys to come to the Steelers game that we're going to go to next year. So not this upcoming season, but the following season. I'm going to start planning it now. Let me know, DM me on the socials, anything that you want to be included, and I will make it happen. Moving on.
Yeah, man. Whatever. We'll put plenty of seasoning on the burgers.
Oh, I'm going to season those burgers. We will cook for you. Don't worry.
Yeah. Speaking of what's cooking, man, Joe Hayden seems to be getting some serious recruiting going on right now from some Buffalo Bills trying to get him up in Buffalo.
Yeah, Von Miller and Stephon Diggs both have made efforts to get Joe Hayden, the previous cornerback, secondary player of the Pittsburgh Steelers, after he played for the Browns, who also got a pretty neat new tattoo that showcases both the Browns side and the Steelers side.
Pretty sick.
Very sick. If he would have played for all four AFC North teams, that would have been really, really badass, not going to lie. But, so they're doing some recruiting. Again, James and I have talked about switching him to safety, maybe take him back, maybe not. Not us as the Steelers, but maybe take him on a team if he plays a different position, because we got to see last year what it was like watching him get burned and burned and burned, and it wasn't that great.
Yeah, Joe showed some excellent instincts still. Some excellent tackling ability still, but his speed definitely has fallen off, unfortunately. And he's in that stage of his career. He's like 31, 32 years old. Mm-hmm. And corners don't get faster as they get older. So if he were to join the Buffalo Bills and maybe get some serious playing time there, I would like that the matchup that would create for Pittsburgh with some of the youth and speedy receivers, whether it be Chase Claypool, Calvin Austin III, George Pickens, any of these guys that are really, really fast individuals one-on-one with Joe Hayden. I would feel really good about that matchup personally.
Oh, absolutely. But speaking of cornerbacks and secondary positions and all this stuff, we're going to hop right into this. We are going over the positional breakdown of the secondary, so cornerback, strong safety, free safety, and the special teams, so kickers, punters, and long snapper. No S at the end of that because there's only one. and we're not going to go over – we're going to wait to go over this until we talk about depth chart maybe down the road. We're not going to go over kick return, punt return, guys. We obviously assume Gunnar Olszewski – I can't even say the name right. Olszewski's going to be the guy there because that's what they brought him in for. So we'll see what happens with that moving forward. But you want to start off with corners? You want to go outside in?
Yeah, we can go corners first and then come back to the safeties. There are a couple of guys that are kind of crossovers that are like nickel / safeties.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about them. Some might be lumped in with safeties, some might be lumped in with corners. But I think the where you should start if you're starting at the corner position is with Akilah Witherspoon. I believe that Akilah is the highest ceiling of all of them. The biggest athleticism, he's the tallest, probably the longest arms as well, at 6'2". He's the fastest guy. He's the 4.45 40 guy. If anyone's going to cover Jamar Chase and Adams and those kind of guys when you're going up against those elite wide receivers, it's Akilah Witherspoon that we're probably going to sick on him. So I feel good about him as a number one corner, but he is 27 years old already, and honestly, if he was like an elite corner, they would have paid him a lot more than $4 million a year. So That's a question mark, but I do believe he is the number one on the roster right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Akilah Witherspoon is a hidden gem on the team. We saw what he could do last year with limited playing time. Imagine him having more time to learn the playbook. Imagine him more time to develop chemistry with the secondary as well, with safeties over top, figure out what they like to do, what they don't like to do. A lot of the times, I personally believe that the secondary is the most, not underrated. I'm trying to think of how to word this correctly. I think that the secondary is can have the biggest impact when players are gelling together, when the chemistry is there, coverage, interceptions, all the things you can see increase when a secondary is gelling together. And I feel like you saw that a lot of the 70s team. I remember seeing, interviews with Mel Blount and who was the safety? Was it Woodson? No.
Donnie Shell.
That's who it was. I don't know why I said Woodson. But seeing those guys talk, and you could just when they talk together, when they talk about the secondary as a whole, the chemistry was there. So look for Akilah Witherspoon to have a potentially pop-off year as the new official number one cornerback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Second guy, Cam Sutton, is the guy you would assume he's been on the team the longest after, actually the longest out of everybody looking at this list.
Yep.
Again, another 27-year-old guy, one of the smaller guys at only 5'11", 188 pounds. But Cam Sutton is the guy that you can potentially see bumped into the nickel position. He can play the number two. He can really do it all. I expect him to play more number two. I don't know about you, James. But Cam Sutton has been there a while, and we know what we got with him.
A lot of people saying expect him to play in the slot, but that doesn't, to me, mean that he won't be the number two, because it could be that he's the number two opposite Akilah Witherspoon, and then when you bring a third guy in for your nickel defense, you just slide him inside and play him in the slot.
Yeah.
If that's where he's best, that's what you do. So Cam Sutton might be one of the smartest defensive backs on the team, maybe even one of the best players with his intelligence and IQ. Just wish he had a little bit more athleticism to go with it, because unfortunately he got exposed a few times last year against those elite guys, whether it be like Tyreek Hill or Ja'Marr Chase. Those guys really gave him issues last year with their high-end athleticism and speed. As far as guys gelling on the team and having chemistry, Levi Wallace, I think it's an important thing to say about him that he did play college ball with Micah Fitzpatrick. So there is some old chemistry going on there. Even though he's new to the secondary, his communication with Minka will be just kind of like riding a bike, getting right back on it, and really kind of going with the flow right away out of the gate. So it's going to be neat to see how he kind of fits into things. He was the number two corner at Buffalo, where they had an elite corner on the opposite side in Trey White. So for a few years there, he was the guy filling in on the opposite side. He's also 27 years old, so the top three corners on the team. You kind of take your pick on what order you think they're going to be, but those are the top three, and they're all 27. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because I have a feeling that whoever the starting corners are going to be in 2024, I think there's a decent chance that neither one of them is on the roster right now. It's a little bit of a concern of mine, but we're going to continue on the list. Just realistically, with both of them being all three of those guys 27, I don't know if they're going to be the answer in a couple of years.
Yeah, we'll definitely wait and see. Again, cornerback position, you can typically expect to drop off at the high 20s, right around 30, that they'd start losing speed, agility, stuff like that. The next two guys I'm going to go over together a little bit, Trey Norwood, Justin Lane. Both are previous draft picks for Pittsburgh, Justin Lane being drafted 4 years ago, and then Trey Norwood being drafted 2 years ago. Trey Norwood came in and did a lot of kind of flexibility, like flexible playing. He'd play a little bit at safety, a little bit at the nickel, and has that capability. We saw little bits and pieces, little sparks of him in preseason last year and a little bit in the regular season. Expect to see him get big playing time in preseason to see if he solidifies his number four spot, because I don't see him jumping up in front of those top three guys. At this point, I don't. So there's potential there for Trey Norwood. And again, Justin Lane, I feel like we haven't seen the best of him, but I also just don't know what more there is. He does a fairly good job on special teams when he's a gunner. Him and James Pierre both, but haven't seen enough of him on the secondary in the secondary to warrant a contract extension, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Justin Lane, this is the last year of his rookie deal. I don't anticipate Pittsburgh bringing him back afterwards because right now his best value is as a gunner on special teams, where he's actually pretty good as a gunner. But when you spend a third-round pick on a corner, you do kind of expect them to turn into a starting corner. And when you're talking about your roster and you're putting them in that, like, you know, fourth or fifth best corner position after 4 years in the league, then you can only look at it as a failure for him to see his full potential. Now, on the opposite side, Trey Norwood, I'm actually a little bit optimistic. Last year, I felt like when he got some duties in the slot, we saw a number of pass breakups and some really good coverage out of the slot. So I think Trey Norwood could be a real gem here as a slot corner in the future, and he's got something we're not used to in that position. Mike Hilton was only 5'9". You got Cam Sutton at 5'11". Norwood's a bigger guy than these guys at 6'1", 194. And his only weakness, I really thought last year, high-end speed, which isn't going to change, and his taking angles when he was playing free safety. Wasn't really much of an issue when he was playing corner. His angles were pretty sound, but when he was playing free safety, he took some bad angles sometimes, which allowed people to get past him, and that's something he's got to clean up this year because he's probably going to see some time at safety as well. But I feel like he's in the role that Cam Sutton was early in his career. Where he's that number four corner, he can fill in as a safety, he knows where he's supposed to be no matter where you put him, and hopefully he can develop and turn the corner, maybe even be a really good slot corner for us in the future.
Yeah.
Next guy on the list, Arthur Maulet, would have been the starting slot corner for us last year, and now we're looking at it, and he might be kind of on the outside looking in. His biggest role is as a slot corner, but he's best against the run. Not as good in pass coverage as we saw last year. And he's also 29 years old, 6 years in the league already. So you don't expect someone like that to get better as far as their coverage abilities at this stage. If anything, he's probably going to start slowing down. I think he's probably going to struggle to make the roster this year.
Yeah, he also got injured last year in during training camp, if I'm not mistaken. We got to see him at Heinz Field we saw him at Heinz Field last year, where he was not able to do any stuff for training camp. When we were there last year, I remember seeing him on the sideline asking him when he was going to get. We yelled at him, "When are you going to get better?" He's like, "Soon." But unfortunately, that really didn't happen for Arthur Mollett last year. I think him, James Pierre, and Lyndon Stevens are three guys all fighting basically for the same spot. It's not often you're going to see them keep more than six guys on the team, and at that cornerback room. And so I think those three guys are all looking at that sixth spot and saying, who's going to take it home. So James Pierre, Lyndon Stevens, and Arthur Mollett, watch for them to get playing time in preseason because the one who performs the best should make the team. And I have a feeling it's not going to be Mollett. I think especially at 29 years old, the guys are just below him or younger, James Pierre and Lance Stevens, Lyndon Stevens. I'm thinking basketball, Lance Stevenson. I expect
James
these guys...
Pierre is probably a little more likely. He's got better coverage skills, and he's more useful as an outside corner. He's got that 6'2 frame that you're looking for. So I think that's probably more likely on James Pierre. Lyndon Stevens was on the practice squad last year, so a little bit of experience there with him.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe James Pierre also got the pick in the Broncos game last year to seal the deal.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. I was there, saw it happen, just saying.
He did get an interception. That's his first of his career, I believe.
It's his only one.
Last two guys, just to fill out the cornerback room, Chris Steele, who's an undrafted free agent, and also Carlin's Platel, of undrafted free agent. Chris Steele was some pretty good athleticism. I believe he was in the 4.4s and in his 40-yard dash at his pro day. And he's got that athleticism, showed pretty well in the mini camps from what people were talking about. So there could be some potential there. I would hope of these guys on the back end of the roster that a guy like Chris Steele at only 21 years old, 6'1", 190 pounds, that's the kind of guy that you want to try to stash on the practice squad, especially with knowing some guys like, say, Cameron Sutton going to the last year of his rookie deal, Justin Lane going the last year of his rookie deal. These guys are on their way out probably. So let's look at someone like Chris Steele, who maybe can fill into that back end of the roster next year so that you don't have to draft two or three corners next year.
Yeah, Chris Steele ran a 4.48.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Anything in the 4.4, I'll take. You know,
that make him the second fastest corner in the room. So
we take that for sure. Yeah. And then also in college, he got better every year at USC. He had no interceptions his first year, one his second, and two his third year before entering for the draft. So
that's
encouraging to see for sure. Now it's time to move on to the safety room.
Let's talk safeties, man.
Well, your boy Minka Fitzpatrick, the man, the myth, the legend, the dude that got the contract extension, you know what I'm saying. Minka's starting. That's great. Minka's going to be there for a little while longer. Great news. Yeah, At least 4 more years. He's about the only solid thing the secondary has right now.
Oh, stop.
I meant like concrete. Future-wise, we just talked.
You know what I mean? Really is, though. It's Minka and a bunch of guys that, you know, maybe you feel confident in some of them. Terrell Edmonds is
90% of these guys could be off the team next year.
I don't know about 90%.
85, sorry.
Let's go 75.
Yeah, that's 80. I'll go 80. I'm curious now. We're gonna keep track.
Next year, Akello Witherspoon and Levi Wallace will both be on the team.
True, so. But that's only three guys out of the 15 we're looking at, or more.
Trey Norwood will be on the team too. He ain't going anywhere. There's four.
4 out of 15. You're not even at 33%.
I can't guarantee anyone else what I'm looking at. I'm just saying 4 out of like 20. It's all right. We're 75, 80% turnover. Some of them will be back because they'll be on the practice squad and stuff. But Terrell Edmonds kind of a fill-in spot. You know, he got a little bit better last year versus previous years, got more reliable as a tackler. But he's still nowhere near what you wanted from a first-round pick.
Nope.
First-round pick, you want this to be somebody that you're extending on a 3 or 4 year extension after their rookie deal. Nobody wanted that after Terrell Edmonds' rookie deal ran out. He got a 1 year qualifying contract. I want to say it was like a $2.75 million or something. There's an exemption kind of thing where you can offer a contract like that. And then like 1.25 of it doesn't count against your cap, or 1.5 or something. They use that loophole on this contract. So it's almost like they're paying him a minimum contract, even though he's making almost $3 million. So it's a win for both guys. It's a win for the Steelers. It's a win for Terrell Edmonds. At least, you know, the chemistry is already there with Minka Fitzpatrick. So that's nice. It buys a 1 year bridge, but is the guy that's going to start opposite Minka on the team right now next year? Probably not.
Nope.
Miles Killebrew, the safety behind him, blocked 2 punts last year, which is tremendous. But as a backup safety, leaves a lot to be desired, unfortunately. DeMonte KZ has some good experience from some other teams. Did have a season where he had a lot of interceptions. I know if I say the wrong number, you're going to look it up and tell me I'm wrong, but I want to say he had one season that he had like 5 picks or something.
No,
and
I was
the rest of his year was his rest of his career was like no more than one a season.
I was just looking at the last time Pittsburgh drafted a defensive back worth anything, minus the players on the team right now. So minus Cam
Sutton. Oh no. Cam Sutton.
Minus him. The last one that I see that was worth a little bit would have been in that 2007 draft with William Gay.
No, there's one in between there.
No, there's only not. One, though. No, there's not.
He went to the Saints. He started for 2 years before. It was the same draft class as Cortez Allen.
Curtis Brown?
No, I'm sorry. It was a different class then.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because Cortez Allen was better than him. Keenan Lewis. Keenan Lewis gave us a good couple of years before going to the Saints.
Man.
He was like a third round pick, though, I think.
Yeah.
Was he? He was more recent than 07, right?
What was his name?
Keenan Lewis.
Keenan Lewis. Yeah, he was 09.
Third round pick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a good safety corner. I want to say he started for like 2 years.
But I'm talking really about a good guy. Own, like I'm talking about like Brian. To me, Brian McFadden wasn't phenomenal.
No, he was an okay number two.
Ricardo, whatever the
Coakley?
Heck. Yeah, no.
Let me say the last name on that one.
The last one. The last guy you're looking at.
Senquez Golson.
The last guy you're. No, don't even get me started on Golson. Yeah. The last secondary guy you're looking at is and the two guys. It's a safety and a cornerback, and they're both in the 03 draft class. It's Troy Polamalu and Ike Taylor.
You hit on both the same draft class?
Yeah, and they hit on both.
Oh wow, yeah.
But after that,
it's a bad track record. That's why they started a few years back. You know, Joe Hayden became available and they signed him. They said, you know, we're struggling. Every time we draft a corner, it doesn't pan out. So let's sign one in free agency that we know is already good.
2000, when Minka became available.
Hank Poteet, baby. Thank you. Yeah. He was a small school kid, wasn't he?
Poteet?
Yeah, I want to say he went to a real Pittsburgh school. Was it Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, anyways, I'm just making a point. All these players on our team that aren't going to be on the team next year, it's not 100% likely we're going to draft anyone better than them. So that's promising. Yep. But you know what? There's new front office movements. There's new things happening. You never know. We might next year might be the year we hit on the draft class for wide receiver, or excuse me, for secondary players. So
two more safeties I want to go over real quick. Carl Joseph, former really high draft pick, but he's 28 years old now. And then Donovan Steiner, who was on the practice squad last year, played pretty well in the preseason last year. So he might actually make the room a little bit more interesting. He's got good size and decent athleticism. Could possibly push KZ or Killebrew for that third or fourth safety position. So it would be interesting to see, and it's kind of interesting also in my book, because KZ is kind of a slot nickel slash free safety guy. Mm-hmm. Same with Trey Norwood. Does that allow them to keep one less guy in the defensive backfield, or does that push them in the direction of keeping someone like Steiner, who might have a little bit more of a high-end coverage capability as a safety than someone like Miles Killebrew? Where I feel like when you keep Miles Killebrew, it's almost strictly for special teams.
True. I'll agree with that. I don't have anything more to say about the safeties. They're not going to be here next year, so it doesn't matter.
Talk about some high-quality players on special teams.
Kicker, you got Chris Boswell. Boz for president, if you know what I'm saying. If you don't know, you better know.
Yeah, go back and listen to some of our old episodes, because for years now we've been saying Boz for president. It doesn't mean that we hate one political party or the other. It has nothing to do with our political views.
It just means Boswell's the president.
Boz. Yeah, Boz is the man. We love him. He should be president.
He's a national treasure. You should just give him his own secret security
service. Yeah, if you don't love Chris Boswell, you got problems, man.
Unless you're like a Ravens fan, then you probably hate Chris Boswell.
But yeah, because... obviously, he's pushing their guy for best kicker in the league. So,
yes, sir. There's another kicker on the team, Nick Skiba.
Nick Skiba. Good old Nick. I know you know all about Nick. Neither do I. No one does. And he's not going to make the team unless something happens to Boz. Knock on wood. Don't worry. I did it. Moving on to the long snapper position, there's only one, Christian Kuntz. He started last year. The only other person on the team that we're sure can even snap a ball is TJ Watt.
And they're not going to
his primary position.
Not going to put him there.
Nope. This is ambulance emergency situation only. I mean, maybe they bring somebody in to compete with him at some point, but the fact that there's not somebody else already there might speak something. But there's also only 89 guys on the roster, so maybe they bring in another long snapper and just use that as the move. You heard it here first if that happens, by the way.
There you go.
Punters. Cody, you want to talk to these punters?
Punter, Presley Harvin III, PH3, had an on and off year last year, but with the passing of a family member or relative and just an emotional year for him. Two of them. Yeah, you're right. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It was like two in a week. That was awful.
Yeah. You expect a rebound to happen naturally. He was not there mentally. I expect him to have the support of, obviously, his friends, his family, and the team. behind him. And he had the support last year. He's very grateful and you know, thankful for what Pittsburgh did for him and just not pressure. Like, Pittsburgh's a class act. That's just the way it is. So PH3, and then you also have Cameron Nizialak. That may not be pronounced correctly, but we don't care because he's not going to make the team.
so I mean, to be transparent, we can't seem to find a good pronunciation. No anywhere. One knows how to do it. Other podcasts, they're struggling with it. Nobody seems to know how to correctly pronunciate his name. If any of you knows how to pronunciate his name and can spell it phonetically for us, or even like leave us a little voice memo thing on whatever. Facebook or something, so we can hear it. Please do it. We would love to know how to correctly say it. It's going to be important for 3 preseason games, but probably not again after.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to add one little segment before we close out this real quick. James has no idea this is happening because I just thought of it and I'm going to do it. so James, I'm going to give you very little information on a player, and you have to guess who it is. You get 2 guesses. If you don't get it, you just have to wait and find out next week when I share who the heck it was at the beginning of the episode next week.
Okay, are we talking on the current roster, on a previous roster? What are we talking?
Just some player. Steelers related, obviously.
Steelers related. That gives me a clue.
And again, if you don't get it in 2 tries, that's fine. We'll share it on that episode next week. But if you get it, you can celebrate with the fans listening. And if you don't get it, they can hopefully comment on the post and see if they can figure out who it was. So this player, I'm only going to tell you how long they were on the team for.
That's it?
Yep. They were drafted in 9. I mean, you can ask you can ask 2 questions other than
you're gonna give me the position at least?
That can be one of your questions. So this player, fine, I'll give you the position.
Let me guess, 1 out of 3,000 Steelers there's ever been just by what you're
listen, this was a last minute thought on my process. We're just going to make it happen. This player was
at least a couple clues, man.
This player was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers in 1998.
Okay.
And played with the team until 2004 and had 2 touchdowns. And was a 2 running touchdowns. Back.
Was it a running back or a fullback?
I'm going to tell you that it says running back.
Well, back in that time frame, how many more questions do I get?
You get 1 question because you're already going to get it right.
I think I know who it is.
I know you know who it is.
Is it Chris Fuamatu Maafala?
Yes, it is. Drafted from Utah. Fu was very fun.
He was a big meatball of a guy. He was a lot quicker than he looked like he would be, too.
Yeah,
I think they tried to use him at fullback later on in his career, but mm-hmm. he was more of a feature back. He just didn't really get the chance to carry the ball much in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's true. All right, I'm going to figure out a way to have this be a little bit more exciting and engaging and get you guys involved in these guesses. I just thought of it anyways. We are going to move on now, and I don't know. Do you have anything else to talk about?
Well, Steelers training camp starting this upcoming week. So we're going to have some updates from that. So next week's episode, probably not going to have like a main topic like what we've been doing, because there should be a lot of news coming out of Pittsburgh. So looking forward to telling you guys all about what's going on in training camp, hearing about the training camp battles, who's playing in what position, is Pickett getting more snaps than Mason Rudolph, what's going on with Kevin Dotson versus Kendrick Green. Maybe even the cornerback rotation, who's running number 1, who's running number 2. There should be a lot going on, and it's going to be exciting to hear about these updates.
Yeah, and a reminder to you guys, James and I will be at training camp for Friday Night Lights at La Trobe High School on August 5th, and then we will also be at the practice at La Trobe, or at the university
St. Vincent College.
St. Vincent College on the 6th. If you guys happen to be there or want to go, hit us up on social media. Let us know. Come find us. We'd love to sit down and chat with you guys. It'd be an awesome time. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So thanks again for tuning in and joining with us. Don't forget those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. You can do them on Facebook too. I think there's also some options on some other platforms. So anywhere you can give us a positive review, we will shout you out on the show if you decide to do so. So thanks for following on Facebook. You can find us on Facebook Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. There's one more.
YouTube.
Maybe TikTok. YouTube, definitely on YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe and ring the bell.
Ding, 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 ding.
For Cody, this is James signing off.
Peace.